The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Morning, everyone. If we could begin with our prayer for vocations. It's also in your order of worship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our homes those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for our priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Once again, good morning, everyone. Well, today is Pentecost. You know, yesterday morning, the Saturday morning Mass, we actually read the last few stanzas of John's Gospel. It was the end, you know. And that's really what this is all about. This is the crescendo of the whole salvation story. You know, Jesus died, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended to the Father, and he brought us the Holy Spirit. Well, it's the crescendo of that story. It's the beginning of ours. We're called now to be filled with that Holy Spirit and to go out and change the world all around us. I was thinking a lot about what I wanted to talk about today, and I found myself landing on something that Archbishop Corleone did last year. It's pretty amazing. Archbishop Corleone is the Archbishop of San Francisco, the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Now, I want to give a little backstory, what I believe led up to him consecrating his entire archdiocese to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on the feast of Our Lady of Victory, or Our Lady of the Rosary. If you recall, that's the day that we've been focusing on for quite a few years. In the last couple of years, joined together with now about 40 to 50,000 people as we do the novena, the 54-day rosary novena leading up to that day. Last year, I was able to be with a bunch of mighty people out in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. on that day. While I was there, Archbishop Corleone was in San Francisco consecrating that. Now, here's the backstory, all right? On Witches' Night, April 30th, 1966, exactly 50 years from the angel's appearance to the children of Fatima in 1916, Anton LaVey founded the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, California. Required reading for members was the Satanic Bible. The central theme of the Satanic Bible is, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Of course, this stands in direct opposition to the very last words uttered by the Blessed Mother at the wedding of Cana Do whatever he tells you. The following summer, the hippie movement and its iconic sexual revolution exploded onto the world when in 1967, the Summer of Love saw 100,000 people converged in Haight-Ashbury's neighborhood of San Francisco. In fact, this song, San Francisco by the Mamas and Papas, depicted the Summer of Love. And it was released, get this, on May 13th, 1967, which is the exact day of the 50th anniversary of Our Lady's appearance, first appearance in Fatima. Charlie Manson and his murderous cult following grew out of this summer of love in San Francisco. While the rumblings of a man-centered, God-maligning spirit was everywhere, the volcanic explosion occurred in San Francisco at this 50-year mark since the appearance of the angel and Our Lady in Fatima. Although hippies also gathered in major cities across the U.S., Canada, and Europe, San Francisco remained the epicenter of the hippie movement and of the sexual revolution. The city became even more of a melting pot of politics, drugs, and a total lack of sexual and social inhibition that it already was. As the hippie countercultural movement came further forward into the public awareness, the activity centered therein became a defining moment in the 1960s, causing numerous ordinary folks to begin questioning everything and anything as a result. Similar to that of the Protestant Revolution, exactly 500 years prior to last year, the 100th anniversary of Fatima, scores of Catholics would leave the church, priestly and religious vocations would dry up, mass attendance would sharply decline, Catholic clergy and laity would no longer be on the same page in terms of belief and behavior, and as for many churchgoers that would remain, their morals and lifestyle would prove to be comparable to non-Catholics. Now, fast forward to this past 7 October Saturday in 2017. If you recall, the wildfires blazed in and around San Francisco as Archbishop Coeur de Lion gathered his diocese together. His name actually means, Coeur de Lion means heart of a lion. We know that Archbishop Coeur de Lion is a fervent supporter of the traditional Latin Mass and reverent Masses. He's a holy man. He chose this feast of Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary, to do this. In his monumental homily entitled, Fatima, a Call to Spiritual Arms for the Salvation and Peace of the World, Archbishop Coeur de Lion gives the battle plan to reverse the curse of a nation under the spell of a satanic, do-what-thou-wilt, man-centered cult that erupted in the 1960s in San Francisco. If you can, go online and read that homily. It's amazing. I just want to give some inspiring pieces of it here today. Archbishop Coeur de Lion in that homily said, for 100 years, we ignored the message of Fatima, or perhaps it is not so much the message we ignored, for we are well aware of the warnings and the history that resulted. Rather, it is the requests that were ignored. But we cannot afford to do so any longer. We have to pay attention. We have to do what she told the waiters at Cana. Do whatever he tells you. And what does Christ tell us to do? He reveals this in the requests Our Lady made at Fatima. I want to stop there. You know, one wonders if Archbishop Coeur de Lion is well aware of what started in his diocese in 1967 and the satanic cult whose motto, whose foundation principle was do what thou wilt, when the first thing he points to in this amazing homily is the counter movement to that. Do whatever he tells you. And so what does Christ tell us to do? Archbishop Coeur de Lion goes on to say, he reveals this in the request Our Lady made at Fatima. It is now time to heed those requests. We might not have the power to change world history, but we can change what happens in our families, communities, if we heed the message. The next century can be radically different from the last one, but only if we heed the message and respond to the requests. What does he ask us to do? It should come as no surprise, because as a central part of her message, wherever and whenever she appears, prayer, penance, and adoration. She was very clear, Fatima, about the twofold purpose of this request: to save souls from hell and to establish peace in the world. The message of Fatima was not only about the temporal order, but above all, the eternal order. In both orders, the stakes could not be higher: world peace and eternal salvation. I therefore call on all the faithful of the Archdiocese of San Francisco to take to heart this threefold recipe for peace and salvation that is Our Lady asks: prayer, penance, and adoration. Prayer is the conversation that we have with God. It means that we care about Him, that we believe He exists, we acknowledge Him, and so we interact with Him. It keeps the relationship alive. Also, we're called to pray in the way that He has shown us. Archbishop Coeur de Lion points immediately to what Our Lady pointed to in Fatima: the rosary. The rosary is an act of obedience. It's also an opportunity to reflect on the amazing things Christ did for us in this salvation history we talked about, the salvation story. Obedience. Penance. Didn't Jesus say, hey, listen, these demons are so rough, so big, so ferocious, we better fast, we better add penance to this prayer. It magnifies our prayer. It says to God, I'm serious about this, I'm begging you, here, let me only have bread today, just to demonstrate that I'm really, really calling out to you, God. I'm not just nonchalantly throwing a prayer here and there. I'm dead serious about this. And of course, when we talk about penance too, we talk about the amazing sacrament of penance. You know, this beautiful sacrament that does what? I always say when I get here, when I talk about that sacrament, that we'll never be perfect in this life, but with the words of absolution, we will be perfectly pure in that moment. A ready vessel to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We simply need to go do in an earnest way we can, recall the ways that we've offended the Lord, and we offer them. We go to the feet of our Lord and say, please, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And He forgives us. He washes us clean and makes us that worthy vessel, that ready vessel, that for what? Boom! We receive the power. We're doing it His way. We're obeying. Now, go out. And let's do this thing. Let's change the world. This weekend, I had the great pleasure, you know, we're on a rotation with doing the traditional Latin Mass, myself and three or four other priests. And it happened to be my weekend this weekend. And when I took this weekend, what I normally do is let all the other priests pick the weekends, and then I'll take the one that's left. That's just to accommodate them. So it happened that this is the weekend. I didn't think ahead that this is Pentecost. Well, I only do, I don't want to say only, but I haven't quite mastered the high mass yet, so I do what's called a low mass. And I thought, wow, at Pentecost, a low mass. But the more I thought about it, I went, you know, listen, I always try to tell people who haven't quite got into the traditional Latin mass, I said, here's how you should approach it. Approach it like you do when you go to adoration. Because that's a time for you to just, all week long, it's frantic, it's busy. Everything vies for our attention. Everything, all the needs. You with beautiful families that have so many kids. You know, but what do we do in adoration? We just stop. Okay? And it's just me and God. Just me and the Lord. I say, go to a traditional Latin mass like that. Because why? Because there's so many silences in it. Well, at a low mass, there's a whole lot of silences in it. And for those who aren't comfortable with silences, they squirm a bit. Cardinal Seurat wrote an important book called The Power of Silence. I pulled a couple of nuggets out. He says, why are men so noisy during the liturgies while Christ's prayer was silent? The words of the Son of God come from the heart, and the heart is silent. Why do we not know how to speak with a silent heart? The heart of Jesus does not speak. It radiates with love because its language comes from the divine depths. In another place in his book, he writes, this age detests the things that silence brings us. Encounter, wonder, and kneeling before God. And then in another place he says, through silence we return to our heavenly origin, where there is nothing but calm, peace, repose, silent contemplation, adoration of the radiant face of God. Archbishop's Corleone's recipe to reverse the curse, prayer, penance, and adoration. Adoration. Oh, how we've lost our ability to just stop and be silent with the Lord. Cardinal Seurat is right. This age detests the things silence brings to us. Encounter. You mean I just can't throw a prayer up every now and again as I race off to the rest of my life? You mean I got to face you face to face? And then look at maybe some of the stuff I've done to offend you? I don't want to go there. I don't want to go deep. Keep me on the surface. Keep me at that superficial level. Just throw up a prayer and race off to my next thing. Or maybe I need to look at the fact that out of love you sent me into existence. What am I doing with that? Is it my world? Or is it yours? Silence makes us face that reality. We don't want to. Hail Mary, our Father, glory be. Hail Mary, our Father, glory be. And race off to the next thing. That's all we want. Don't give me this silence. I don't want to look at the ways I've offended. I don't want to look at what I've not done for you, God, with my life. I don't want to go there. The world will say. But this is the place of encounter. And this is the place of wonder. And it's the place. Remember when Jesus appeared to them, they were frightened. Peace be with you, he said. Peace be with you, he said. That's what he wants to give us. The peace of knowing he is with us always. The peace of knowing we're trying our best to please God by not offending Him, by doing the best with this existence He's given us. To walk in that peace of mind, that peace of heart, under the power of the Holy Spirit, is what God wants for each one of us. Yes, bring more silences. Help us to get to know you more, Lord. Help us to strip away all the ways that we have offended you and come in right relationship with you. Help us to connect as we've never connected before. Yes, Lord, bring the power of the Holy Spirit to us today. Let's reverse the curse. Let's talk to Him in prayer. Let's find redemption through our penance. And let's encounter the love of God through adoration.